Told if you want to know something, go all the way back to Genesis. Go all the way to the Old Testament, the first mention. And I'm not going to preach out of that this morning, but I challenge every one of you. We hear a lot of people make emphatic statements about this and that and the other. And if you go all the way back to Genesis and read really, really, really careful, you might find some enlightening things. Some enlightening things. Not that I want to argue with somebody else's preaching, but if you take it all the way back to Genesis, it says a whole lot of stuff different than what a lot of people say. But if you will turn to John chapter 17, I want to tell you what Jesus said. John 17. John 17 says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me in with thy own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept the word, thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. Them have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all or mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come unto thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I unto thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them the word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that there also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I give unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me be in them, and I in them. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning that we have been given the ability to pray. We've been given the ability to come to you in your presence and to ask for healing for folks and for salvation for folks and for our needs and our wants and our daily bread and the things that come on us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you said we could come boldly to your throne because we are your children. Lord, if there's anyone here that is not one of yours this morning or not saved, I'm not saying he's not one of yours because you know who's yours. But Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know they're one of yours, that you would make them open to that this morning, that you would touch their heart this morning, that you would open their eyes and their ears to the truth of God's word. Lord, but while we talk about these things, Lord, help me and strengthen me and encourage me in Jesus' name. Amen. It says here, Jesus lifted up his eyes into heaven. He was praying. And while I bow my head and close my eyes, I don't know where that came from. I've never seen that, but we do. We bow our heads, we close our eyes. It says he lifted up his face to heaven, and he lifted up his eyes, and he prayed. And I kind of believe that Jesus Christ was looking straight at God the Father when he did that. I believe Jesus Christ, he didn't have a thing between him and them and God like we do that he couldn't see. But when he lifted up his eyes, he could actually see God the Father. He actually could see what we cannot see. I kind of remind of when Elijah was on the mountain and his helper says, "Man, look at all the enemy." He says, "Look around behind you here, partner. We got angels everywhere." God, Jesus Christ, could look up into heaven and see what we cannot see. He looked in the face of the Father and he said this prayer. He says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee." He says, "Look, it's time. I'm fixing to go to the cross. I have so far, I have kept your word. I've done all the things you've asked me to do. I have been a witness in truth and in spirit and in the likeness of Jesus Christ." If you'll read Corinthians, he is the expressed image of God. He is whatever Jesus Christ you saw is just the way God would act, just the way God would walk, just the way God would talk. It says here, "I have glorified thee. Now help me through this time glorify me." He said, "I'm fixing to go to this cross. I'm fixing to die for the sins of all those that you gave me. I'm fixing to go to the cross and finish the work totally, that these which I'm praying for right now will have what I'm praying for." Because without the cross, this prayer would not affect us. Without the cross, without him dying and shedding his blood and paying the sin debt for these he's praying for, it would have had no effect. So he says, "Father, glorify me. Help me. Strengthen me that I may do the work that you have sent me to do in totality." He says, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. If you understand this, Jesus Christ is eternal life. Jesus Christ can give eternal life to as many, not every single person, as some folks would like to believe, and they just fall away and reject and turn their mind away from God. It is, if God has drawn you out, he gives life unto you in person at that time. It says, as I have power over all flesh. In other words, Jesus Christ doesn't lose folks. It says he has power. He has ability. He has strength. He has everything necessary to hold and to keep that which is his. These people that preach that Jesus is needing you to do something, they're not serving that Jesus. They're not honoring that Jesus. They're not giving glory to the God who has all power. They're glorifying a God that needs your help. Save yourself if you want to. He's waiting on you. That ain't the God I serve. That ain't the one that I'm living with. And he says, I have power. And I give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. In other words, before the foundation of the world, before the book was written, when God was writing the names in the book, Jesus says, I will give eternal life to all of them that you have given me. These were placed in Christ. Ephesians says, we were placed in Christ. We were instilled in Christ by God the Father unto salvation. Not to be lost, not to be thrown away, not to fall back, but unto salvation. It says, and this life eternal, they might know thee, the only true God. They might know thee, the only true God. This life eternal is not a head knowledge of God. It's a heart knowledge of God, knowing the fact that God is who He says He is. It's a fact that we understand that there is a Creator. There is someone bigger than everything else, and He's called God. And before everything was done, He knew exactly what He was going to do. He knew exactly when He was going to do it. He knew exactly how He was going to do it. And He never asked one of us what we thought about it. Never once did I get a little memo, Charlie, what you think? And you didn't either. If you did, I want to see it. Had to be pre-Facebook or something. It says here, not only that we had to know God, but we had to know, and Jesus Christ whom thou sent. You see, the Jews knew Jehovah. The Jews worshipped the living God up to a point, but when the Messiah came, the one they needed to fall in love with, the one they needed to praise and honor and glorify, when the Messiah came, they crucified Him. When the Messiah came, they rejected Him. It says in 1 John, it says, as all that received Him. But it also says, but the other ones did not receive Him. It says here, I have glorified thee on the earth. When Jesus Christ walked on this earth, everything He did brought honor and glory to the Father. Not one time did He question what the Father sent Him to do. Not one time did He say, oh, no, I think I got a better way over here. Not one time did He say, oh, no, that's not going to work, Father. I see these people are not going to go this way. He always did that which pleased the Father. He always brought honor and glory to the Father. Never one time did Jesus Christ say, I don't think so. Maybe not. It was always, yes, Father. Yes, Father. What would be the most honoring thing that your children could do to you would be to say, yes, Father. Whatever you say, Father. Because we know God wouldn't ask me to do anything wrong, naturally, I'm saying here. But if my Father always asked me to do the things that were absolutely perfectly right, the most honor I could have ever given Him was to have said, yes, Daddy. That's right. And do it. Jesus did that. That's how He lived. Says, I have glorified thee on the earth. In other words, He didn't just do it in heaven. He just didn't do it in stars. He just didn't do it out of space. But when He walked on this earth in the flesh, He brought honor and glory to the Father by keeping all the law. I'm not talking about the added law that the Pharisees and the Sadducees came up with. I'm talking about the law of God, the true law. He not one time violated the law of God. He always did that which was right. Says, and now, O Father, Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. In other words, Father, I'm coming to you. I'm fixing to leave this earth. I'm fixing to die on this cross. I'm fixing to be risen from the grave, and I want to be glorified in you. If you remember in Romans chapter 1, it says the men, the women, they exchanged their glory for the glory of creatures and creeping things and stuff like that. My glory, your glory is Jesus Christ. Our glory is in God Himself. When we exchange His glory and bring it down to man's glory and creeping things' glory and things like that, Jesus Christ always glorified the Father. He never bowed down to anything but the Father. He says, I have magnified thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. And if you just said that, stop right there, the mother bunch could say, there you go. But it says, thou gavest me out of the world. God has picked out a chosen bunch of people out of the world. Jesus Christ says, I have manifested thy name which to those which thou gavest me out of the world, thine they were. In other words, they all belong to you, God. And thou gavest them me, the group that thou gavest me. Says everybody's under the control of God. Everybody's under the wrath of God. Everybody's under the thing. But there's an elect bunch that God chose out, pulled out of His own will, placed them in Jesus Christ. And He says, and I have manifested thy name to them. If you're saved here right now, the only reason you're saved here is because God has revealed His name to you. God has magnified His name to you. He has showed you what you are and what you need, and He has called you out of darkness. And thou gavest thee me them, and they have I kept, and they have kept thy word. We were talking earlier about those who were apostate, who heard the thing with joy, who listened to the thing, who were glorified in God, and then all of a sudden when things got hard, difficult, or whatever, they said, oh man, this is too hard. I'm going to go back to what I was doing. They were apostate. They were not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. They were not born again. But it says the ones that were born again keep thy word. I didn't say I'm sinless. I didn't say you're sinless. But I do my best to keep His word. His word is good to me. His word is fabulous to me. His word makes me into what I am. It says, do I keep it fully? No. But like David says, help me. Fix me. Raise me up. Get me up again. It says, now they have known that all things whatsoever has given me are of thee. Before you get born again, before you get saved, you just understand that all things are out there. But when you're saved, you understand that all the good things, everything that we have that is godly, goodly, stuff like that, all comes from God. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God. It says, for I have given unto them thy words. That's why it's so important for us to read these words. That's why it's so important for us to understand these words. These are the words of God. The love letter of God to His people. The love letter of God to those He's going to save. The love letter of God that says, I have given them my word. And in Thessalonians it says, and they received the word as if it were the words of God and not of man. My hope, my intent here today is if you're hearing this, that it's the words of God you're hearing and not of me. If all you're hearing is just my voice, all you're hearing is just my words, you're missing the bigger picture. Understand this is the word of God. God gave this. God said this. God spoke this. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest. And He gave us, if you remember in the back of John at the very end, it says, many, many, many books and many, many writings could have been wrote, but what you needed for salvation. See, we keep wondering what else there is out there. First of all, salvation is the key point. God give us a book unto salvation. He didn't give us a book unto a full knowledge or full understanding or full everything else, which we may get, we may not get. But I did get enough information to know what I need to do to be saved. What I need to know to tell someone else what they need to do to be saved. It says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them." These 12 men, these 11 of them actually, received it unto salvation. One received it as the bad dirt received it, because he was the keeper of the bag. He was a thief. He was this. He was that. But he wasn't a Christian. He just wanted what Christianity might bring for him. That's like them TV guys. "I'll say a prayer over you for a few more bucks. Or I'll send you this little packet of water that'll do something. I don't know what it'll do for you. If you're thirsty, it might help. They'll send you a little packet of water, and you just keep sending them money, and it'll bless you." That's not what we get blessed with. We get blessed with the Word of God. It says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee." If you understand, if you've been saved, if you've been touched by the Word of God, you understand that the one who gave them these words came from God, from the Father, to the children. Jesus, our intercessor, came down here to take our place on the cross. Jesus came down here to live an impeccable, sinless life that those of us who would believe it would have life eternal. He says, "I came out of thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." The only way you can believe in Jesus Christ is understand he comes from the Father. If any Christ you're following did not come from the Father, you're following the wrong one. That's a false Christ. That's a false teacher. If your Savior, Jesus Christ, came, he came from God himself as a sin substitute for you to die in your place. He says, "I pray for them." You say, "Really?" If you don't understand it, "I pray for them," he's even praying right now for you. He's in heaven making intercession always for each one of us. I don't know how he can do all that, but he's God. Jesus Christ never stops praying. He didn't just pray right here for you. He didn't just pray right here for me. He prays always. He says, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world." In other words, why wouldn't Jesus want to pray for the world? He didn't die for the world. He died for His elect, His chosen ones. He says, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." If you're one of the them that he prayed for, he's glorified in you. Now, that being said, to be one of them, all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. There you go. I'm not going to try to make that harder than that. But it says, "I pray for them." If you're ever going to be one of them, he's praying for you right now. He's making intercession for you right now. He says, "I pray not for the world," because the world's going to hell. The world's going to be lost. The world's going to go away. "But I pray for them which thou hast given me." It says, "And now I am no more in the world." In other words, he knows he's going to die. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to rise up to heaven. "But these are in the world." If you're a believer right now, where are we at? We're in the world. We ain't got no special place we went to in between land or whatever. We're right here in this world that's covered by lost people. The devil has a pile of junk going on all around us. Everything we know around this world is lost and dying and messed up. He said, "I pray for them that are in the world. Pray not for them that I pray no more the world, but for these are in the world. And I come unto thee, Holy Father, keep them through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." Jesus Christ is praying that we may be in fellowship, not just with ourselves, but with Christ himself. with God the Father Himself. We are being prayed for that while we're going through these struggles and stuff that goes on in this world, that we will be in holy fellowship with God the Father and with Jesus Christ the Son. While I was with them in the world, I kept them by in thy name. In other words, while I walked with this few bunch, while I was with these few bunch, I kept them ramrodded up. I kept them from getting caught up in all these things they shouldn't get caught up in. I led them. I guided them. I eased them along in the right paths. He says, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. He didn't lose one. He didn't. We remember back when the 70 came and he turned and says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he said, oh, no, we're out of here. And then he looked at the 12 and he says, will you leave me also? He knew what they were going to do. He was keeping them himself. He had a hold to them. But he had to open their eyes to the fact that this ain't a world thing. This is a spiritual thing. He says, I have kept and none of them is lost. If you're a believer, you will never be lost. We covered that in Hebrews this morning. There's no such thing as being a believer and then becoming a non-believer. You might sin, you may backslide, you may even get sort of lukewarm in the water, but you will never become an unbeliever. It says you are saved. Have you ever kind of wondered about salvation? It says, especially even if you're an Arminian, it says, I decided to follow Jesus. Okay, if you decide to follow Jesus, you ought to be able to decide not to follow Jesus, right? If it's a decision you made, you ought to say, well, I tried it, I liked it a little bit, and no, I don't like it no more, I'm quitting. Well, the thing is, when you're born again, you're elect into the army of God. You're drafted in the army of God. You don't get the option of undeciding. You may fight it. You may kick against the pricks, but you don't get to undecide. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're saved, period. But God makes you like it. And I use the word makes you. That might be a little tough sentence to some of y'all, but He fixes it where the things that were contrary to you, the things that rubbed you the wrong way, now all of a sudden you say, that's good for me. That's good stuff. This Jesus stuff works great for me. He says, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And you say, well, see, there's one that you didn't keep. There's one that you couldn't hang on to. Now understand this, he did exactly what Jesus told him to. He said, go thy way, and whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. He did exactly what he was told to do also. He didn't lose a single one of them because he knew from the very get-go that Judas was a devil from the beginning. And he says, and he fulfilled the scripture just like the Holy Scriptures are written. There's not one jot, not one tittle, not one thing about these things that will ever not happen according to how God says they're going to happen. He says, now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. If you understand that Jesus is praying for you, if you understand that Jesus is making intercession for you, if you understand that Jesus gave His all for you, there ought to be a sense of joy in the fact that, hey, holy God has thought on me wonderfully. Holy God has poured out His grace on me wonderfully. I could beat myself up about how much I don't do for Him. But the fact is, what I ought to be looking at, I ought to have my joy in the fact that He loved me so much that He gave His all. He gave everything that I might be saved. Says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. And I've often said about how it was after I was saved. I went back to the crowd I hung around with. The crowd I hung around didn't want to hear about Jesus. The crowd I hung around with eventually hated me enough that they didn't fellowship with me anymore. And I should take great joy in the fact they don't like me no more because there's a difference there. Somehow or other, God has made a difference between me and them. We should go back and witness. We should go tell folks about Jesus Christ. But when they reject you, they hate you, that's a sure sign that you're on the right path. It's a sure sign that you have been headed in the right direction. Say, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Wouldn't that have been a nice thing? As soon as you got to say, boom, we're out of here. Well, in that case, who would be telling all the other lost folks who need to be saved? They need to be saved. And as soon as we got saved, he flew us on out of here. Who would be preaching and who would be teaching and who would be doing the things that we need to be doing to please God? He says, I pray not that they be taken out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He didn't say from sin. He said from the evil. There's a lot of stuff goes on out there that's just plumb bad that brings us down. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. If you're a safe person, this world is not your home. You're only passing through, as the song goes. This world, we have been saved out of this world to go to another place. I have been saved to go to a heavenly city, a place not made with hands, not made with flesh and blood, but by God Himself. This world, this thing that I'm hanging on to, that I seem to so dearly to love, really is not my home. But we still seem to cling to everything about it almost. We just don't let it go. It says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Now Jesus Christ Himself is the Word of God. He is the God, the Word, spoken Word. But also the Word, written Word we have here. So you have Jesus Christ, the Word, giving us the written Word. And He says, I have sanctified you through the Word. You're not going to get sanctified through some spaceship flying over the head or something like that. You're only going to get sanctified through the Word of God. Through somebody preaching this Word, somebody teaching this Word, somebody pouring their heart out over this Word, that when the time of your salvation comes, God will save you by the quickening of His power of the Holy Spirit, because the Word has been applied, the truth has been applied, and when the Spirit quickens you, you know exactly what's going on in your life. You may not understand it, but you'll know. God has just done something to me that He didn't do yesterday. I have been born again. I have been changed. I have been turned into something that I wasn't. And now the things that I wasn't or the things that I used to be, I don't like them because I know they're against God. Everything I used to be was a fight against God. It says, I have been changed. I have been sanctified. It says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. We are sent out. And that doesn't necessarily mean over the oceans or across the seas or anywhere else. We're sent out. Denham Springs, Watson, Walker, wherever. Wherever we have opportunity to share the Word of God, that's where we're sent to. And like we said a couple of weeks ago, be ready always to give an account for what happened to you. That doesn't necessarily mean I've got to beat your door down to get you to hear me, but it means when somebody comes to me, when somebody says, why are you different? Why do you believe what you believe? Then, with fear. Then, with meekness. Then, with humbleness. I explain to them why I know I'm going to heaven. And unless they believe what I believe, why they're going to go to hell. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be unnice. I'm trying to tell you, unless you believe the thing that I have believed, because of the grace of God, there's only one answer for you. There's only one place for you. It says, as thou hast sent me into the world, so I send them in the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. If we'd have had a half-sanctified Christ or a partially sanctified Christ, we wouldn't have any ability. We wouldn't have any power. But He sanctified Himself by doing the things that were pleasing to the Father. He did everything that we might do some things. He says, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth. In other words, I can't do this without staying in the book. You can't live your Christian life without staying in the book. And I ain't trying to tell you how many chapters you need to read every day or how many verses you need to read every day. I'm saying you need to be in the book. Some way, somehow, someplace, you need to take time. You and God alone, get in the book. Not to impress me with how many chapters you read every week or verses or what you've got memorized, but for your sanctification between you and God. you need to be in the book and in prayer. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's why I need to be in the book. That's why I need to know the truth about what God says about folks. So when someone who is elect, someone whom God is giving enlightenment to, they will hear the words. They will hear the truth. They will understand the change. They will understand that God has made a difference. And they will be hungry for what He's got. If we don't give them something to be hungry about, if we don't put a little salt on them, they're not going to get thirsty. We need to keep them understanding God has done something for us that is different than everybody else. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You are an important part of saving people. I didn't say you saved anybody. But you're an important part of what God does to save people. You bring the word. You bring the witness. You bring the teaching. God does the saving. I got to say it like that because that's the way it is. That they may be one. As Thou, Father, art in me and I in Thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. Didn't say that everybody would be saved, but it says that the world would understand one day. The understanding would come to the conclusion that You have sent me. They have talked about me. They have preached about me. And if you read 2 Corinthians, it says some of them to life and some of them to damnation. I don't know who gets saved and I don't know who goes to damnation. That's too big for me to carry. I don't carry that load. But I know that every time I preach the gospel, some will receive it unto life, and some will turn away from it unto death. It takes the power of God to make the difference in who's who. And Thy glory, and the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them. The ability to believe in God the Father. The ability to trust in God the Father. It says, I have given them that they may be one even as we are one. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, without the grace of God, there's no way that I can be one in God and understand that I'm part of this thing. I'm not just a pawn. I'm not just a thing, but I'm someone that God chose from the foundation of the world. Not that I can brag about, not that I can boast in, but the fact that God has showed mercy on me. I in them and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And we talked about being made perfect as we go along. One of these days I'm going to see Christ face to face. I'm going to see Him as He is. I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be just like Him other than being a God. It says, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me and hast loved them that Thou hast loved me. There's going to be a time when every knee shall bow, every mouth shall confess, not to salvation, but to the glory of God. There's going to be a time when every single person is going to know who Jesus Christ is. It doesn't mean every single person is going to be saved, but every person will know without a doubt who exactly He is. Lord of lords, King of kings, God of God. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. There's a promise right there. God the Father says, all the children of God, all the chosen ones, all the believers in Jesus Christ, one day every single one of us will be with God where God is at. Not going to be looking afar wondering what it's going to be like. We're going to be right there. We sung a song, Face to Face. Face to face. One of these days, I'm going to be face to face with Jesus Christ. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, and they may behold my glory. I don't know if I could even imagine what the glory of God with a face as bright as the sun, with brass shoes just like fire, with eyes of flame. To see God in all of His glory. A consuming fire. A hammer that hammers out truth. To see Him just like He is. That's a awesome, scary thought, to see Him just the way He is. But also to know that because I've been chosen, because I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't see Him as a hammer to crush me. I don't see Him as a fire to consume me, but as a fire to burn me off and make me perfect and pure and right in His sight. And this all took place before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee. They don't. But I have known Thee. And these have known that Thou hast sent me. If you're a believer here this morning, if you're becoming a believer, you know without a doubt that God the Father sent His Son for you. You know without a doubt that your salvation is all wrapped up in Jesus Christ and what He did on that cross. Says, but I have known Thee. Not only has Christ known Thee, but these know Thee. The only way that I know Jesus Christ the way I do, the only way that I know God the way I do, is because God has done a work in me. The only way you know Christ the way you know is God has done a work in you. He says, I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it. That the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Man, some folks could make a whole sermon just out of that. The love of God that's in me. Because if it weren't for the love of God, I would not have told you one thing that I told you this morning. If it were not for God making a difference in my life, I wouldn't be in this building today. If it weren't for the love of God, I would care not for your souls, because I wouldn't be worried about nobody's. But because He has made a difference, because He has told me there's a purpose, there's a plan, there's a reason, there's a God to be worshipped and glorified, because of that, we did this morning. Because He makes a difference. If you have been saved, if you have know for a fact that God has done something in your life and you have not made it known to us, would you make it known to us today? Let us know what God has done for you.